B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Matt.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ron, in terms of Devers working out at BC, was there any particular reason that you wanted him to go with Carlos and be away from the group here?
I think we're just trying to get everybody at different places. There's reasons why sometimes I do things. Sometimes I can't tell you guys, sometimes I can. But for right now, that's what we did. And like I said, we'll get him back over here and get him working out. And I know he wanted to see some velocity today. We got a machine over there. We're giving him some velocity in the cage. Tomorrow he wanted to see live BP. We're giving him live BP and just making sure we're giving him what he needs to be ready. He wants to be in these inner squad games. Not necessarily maybe on defense, but we'll get him at bats.
Hour number two, Felger and Mass. It's 3:05 p.m. here today, Wednesday. Mike's out, Jim Murray alongside, Joe Murray here to help out as well on headlines and to offer up his 2 cents. And Joe Murray's good offering up the 2 cents. We're one of the bankroll boys.
Yeah, just the basketball stuff, though. I don't know, Maz. I mean, Kemba Walker's, he was the all-starting guard in the All-Star game.
Joe, we're now on to baseball. We've moved on to baseball, and Rafael Devers, that's Ron Renicki, manager of the Red Sox. By the way, listening to Ron Renicki, I don't know why this struck me today. You know who he sounds like to me? Bill Walsh. Remember Bill Walsh, the coach of the Niners?
I wouldn't be able to figure. I mean, I know who he is.
Look him up online. He had sort of that, you know, that nice old man kind of voice. And I think that that's how this guy sounds, like a nice old man. I don't even know how old Ron Renicki is. He's probably not that much older than me.
I believe he's 66.
Okay, well, then he is a lot older than me. So take that into account. But he's talking about Rafael Devers, who's been working out at Boston College. I saw this.
63.
Peter Abraham's notebook today. That the Red Sox are working out at Fenway Park, but Rafael Devers has been working out at Boston College. Why would that be?
Well, I mean, based on Pete Abraham's tweet yesterday, reading between the lines a bit, seems like the Red Sox weren't thrilled with his condition, and he's over there getting extra work in. So he showed up like a moose.
So he's fat. Rafael Devers is fat. This bugs the crap out of me, and this really honestly speaks to the Red Sox entirely to me. Because as we were discussing this during the negotiations between MLB and the union, and then they were ending up with a 60-game schedule, you know, a sprint versus a marathon. Do you remember what I said that what this meant for the Red Sox chances, Murray? Like, I looked at it and I said, this is good if you're the Red Sox. To play 60 games instead of 162, now you've got a shot.
Yeah. And an undeserved one at that, given their offseason, and especially the rotation, too. But given their offense, yeah, they have a legitimate shot to get into the playoffs.
I mean, they do. They have a total chance. In 60 games, they have a chance. Yeah. How many starters do you need for 60 games? You don't need that many. Eduardo Rodriguez, Nathan Eovaldi, and you know the rest of them, I don't even care. Martin Perez, if you got two guys who can be decent for 2 months, you can make the playoffs and have a chance. You totally could make the playoffs. Absolutely. Eduardo Rodriguez won 19 games last year. Eovaldi had a year with the Yankees where I think he went 14-3. Now the ERA was over 4. But if Eovaldi throws the ball like he did here in 2018 at the end of the year when he was just an absolute force for 2 months, hell yeah, he could help him. That could be enough. In a 60-game schedule, sure. You know what the problem is? I don't think the Red Sox are taking it seriously.
I agree with that.
So you go back to spring training, and when all those guys showed up, and I'm rewinding here a little bit, because the stuff I'm seeing about the Red Sox coming out of Fenway, really, honestly, I can't tell you how disappointed I am in it. And I don't mean the coverage. I mean the fact that it feels to me like they're mailing in the season. And I'm talking about the players now. I don't think Ron Renicki's mailing in the season. But after the offseason the Red Sox had, they showed up for camp. And you said, okay, this could be bad. They need to get off to a good start or this thing could spiral. Because they had an offseason where they had injuries to people like Chris Sale. David Price and Mookie Betts got traded. Their manager got fired. You know, they changed GMs. Like, there were a million things that happened to that organization. And so guys like Xander Bogaerts were going to show up in camp and say, we're porked. Why even play this year?
Not to mention that they handled it in the most disingenuous Red Soxian way possible. With like, oh, please reserve judgment and just wait, you know, like with all of that. Like, oh, F off.
I totally forgot about the cheating scandal that went along with all of that.
Right.
Absolutely. So there was all of that, all this crap that led into spring training. And then COVID-19 hit. And it all sort of disappeared for a while.
It was like the best thing that could have possibly happened to them.
And not, right, because nothing could go wrong.
Right.
Right, just not being on the field was a win for them in many ways, Murray. It's so true. Then this thing hits, and now you've got a 60-game schedule. And all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a minute now. You have a chance. You have a chance to win. You actually do. You have a good lineup. Verdugo didn't miss any time now. He was supposed to miss the beginning of the season. And so you look at it, and you say, all they have to do is be interested. That's all they have to do is be interested. Now there's an opportunity there. There's an opportunity for Devers, and there's an opportunity for Rodriguez, and right down the line. And just look what has happened to them. Darwin's and Hernandez tested positive for COVID. Young guy who was going to have a significant role. Hell, he could have taken one of those final two spots as a starter. That guy was a starter in the minor leagues before they shoved him in the bullpen. In spring training, Renicky was talking about potentially using Hernandez as a starter. He's got COVID. He didn't take care of himself. He exposed himself in some way, shape, or form. And again, maybe it's not entirely on him. Allegedly, he was around family members that had it. And so, but I look at it and I say, I don't know, if I were a young player, 60-game season coming up, I'm not making the biggest salary in the world, I'd have been careful. He wasn't. Devers comes in out of shape at a time when, on top of it, the Red Sox have been discussing a contract with him. Now he comes into camp out of shape to the point where they got to send him over to BC because I'm guessing they don't want anybody to see how fat he is.
Given his body composition anyway, though, are you really that surprised?
I'm not, but you know what? If you remember last year, Murray, he came in better shape.
Yeah, weren't they offering him like Chipotle gift cards to... I'm serious about that. I think they were trying to get him to lose weight.
So they
were offering him Chipotle. I swear to God, yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean, he came in better shape last year. And he had a career year. He was one of the best hitters in baseball last year.
Wasn't he in the MVP conversation at the end of the year?
I think he finished sixth. I was just looking that up, Joe. I think he finished sixth in the MVP. No, I take it back. It was 12th.
And while this is
I thought it was higher for that for some reason.
I get your frustration, Maz, but it feels to me like this isn't just about the Red Sox. This is systemic throughout Major League Baseball. Like,
agreed.
You're seeing this in every single camp, and I think it speaks to a lot of that clip you played of Sean Doolittle from the Nationals yesterday. You know, he shows up and is like, what are we doing here? Because I think it's just been half-assed from the top down. You know, like, they can't get tests for certain teams. They can't get test results for certain teams. Some of the owners didn't even want the season to happen. You just had all this labor strife over the last 3-4 months. So, and again, not that it makes it right, but I just don't think this is about the Red Sox. This is a baseball problem.
I mean, so, but doesn't that bug you? Like, when I say that, and I mean this, Murray, that I look at it and say, well, wait a minute. These guys wanted to play 114 games at one point. Then they offered up 80-something. And I can't even remember all the proposals now going back and forth. But the players want to sit there and say, no, we want to play 114 games. They all said, we want to start right away. We're ready to go. We want to play. We want to play. We want to play. Now they're about to get on the field, and a lot of them are fat. A lot of them are sick. And a lot of them are unmotivated. Felger had mentioned this a while back. And I thought it was a possibility where he said, it feels like these guys are just going to mail it in. And he meant that baseball universally.
Yeah.
I would say the Red Sox certainly have fallen into that category. And look, I'm in Boston, so at the end of the day, I care more about the Red Sox than I do about the overall game. But I do care about both. And I would tell you, I find this insulting. After all of the crap between the players and the owners going back and forth, all of that, the players, no, we want to play. The owners are dragging their feet. Then they come in and they're out of shape. And they're not ready to go? What's Rafael Devers' excuse? How old is that guy? 24? Is he even that old yet? How old is Rafael Devers? I mean, there's no excuse for him to not be ready to go.
Well, again, though, maybe it speaks to, as a collective, they're now being forced into, in a lot of ways, something that they don't want to do. They lose this labor war with the owners, and then Manfred and the owners implement the 60-game season. Some of these guys probably felt like it wasn't going to happen, so they weren't taking hacks in a batting cage or doing sprints or anything like that. They've been sitting around pounding food and playing video games. Now they have to play this season they want no part of, so they're going to half-ass it. it doesn't make it right, but I could completely understand why it would feel that way.
He's 23, and that's exactly what I think is going to happen this season. That's why I want to watch. I want to know who cares and who doesn't. But to your point, man, I actually think the Red Sox have handled it. I mean, they gave everybody their own luxury suites so they can separate. The only thing I don't like is the one person I've heard from is Xander Bogaerts. He's the only guy who said, hey, we have a chip on our shoulder this year to prove something. J.D. Martinez is talking about DHs. Jackie Bradley Jr. is talking about his free agent year as well. And everybody, and we're hearing about Eddie Rodriguez. Now we know he's got Corona, but like, that's a guy we were depending on this year. And you're right. I think this is a baseball problem, not so much a Red Sox problem. But from what's happening, what we read in the paper and everything like that, sounds, I've only heard a few guys. I mean, even Nathan Eovaldi said he wants to bounce back. Besides that, everything else has been about what's going on in the country or in the game, not so much what's happening for that Red Sox team.
So, Joe, the COVID protocols and how the Red Sox are handling it, I don't blame the Red Sox for that. I'm talking about the individual players. I look at the players and say, you know, you guys have an opportunity here now. 162 games, you had no shot. You don't have the pitching to get through 162. That's where the real damage comes, is over the 162. That's why it's hard. You've got to grind it out. You need a lot of arms to get through 162 games, and the Red Sox didn't have it. Now, all of a sudden, they're getting ready to play. And remember, they're 2 weeks out from opening day, basically. 2 weeks out. And guys are out of shape, unmotivated. They couldn't give a rat's ass about it.
It could be funny. I'm with Joe. I'm now more interested.
I'll give you the humor part of it, Murray. Like, there could be some entertainment value in that. I agree. And, you know, but it's one thing for Pablo Sandoval to show up looking like he looked in San Francisco. Sandoval's a veteran guy. He's won World Series. He got a massive contract from the Red Sox. So you want to say Pablo Sandoval's unmotivated? Fine. I get it. He's not looking to win a job. He gets kicked out of baseball or cut tomorrow. He's fine for the rest of his life, I think, unless he's lost his money or whatever. But you get the drift. He doesn't have a lot left to prove. There might be not much of a fire there. Devers, 2 years in the big leagues. He had a terrific year last year. He shows up looking like that. And again, the way Renicki said it, there's some things I can tell you and some things I can't. Well, why can't he tell you about it? Because what? Because he's afraid of embarrassing the player? Devers came in out of shape, came in unprepared. Why are you chuckling?
What are they hiding? Like, he can't put his pants on. You know, he can't.
But it's got to be something like that. And I'm telling you, Murray, that kind of stuff, you know, I'm reluctant to say this because I feel badly about it. But when Rich Garces was with the Red Sox, and I loved Garces, good guy. Okay. Garces obviously had a weight problem. And I think some of it was beyond his control. They had to like sew an extension into his uniform pants at one point because it just was, you know, going to be an issue. But with him, I always get the sense that he cared.
Yeah.
The guys on the team liked him. He competed, you know, so I'm okay with that part of it. And Garces, again, was a pitcher. It's a little different. He was in his 30s. This kid's 23. He's got millions of dollars at stake here. The fact that he didn't come in ready to go, I think that's a bad sign. If I were the Red Sox, I'd be sitting around having a discussion right now saying, are we sure we want to commit to this guy? Are we sure? Because, again, it's an unusual offseason, but, man, he slipped. And he's one of those guys that Cora had to be on. Cora was on his ass, Rafael Devers, about getting him to stay focused and stay committed. Cora had to be on him. I don't know. That would bug me if I'm the Red Sox. We'll continue with your calls next.
Felger and Mass. Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't know, maybe I get too angry about stuff like this. When you're talking about Eduardo Rodriguez and Rafael Devers, one of them has COVID. The other one's either out of shape or exposed himself to people with COVID based on something Tim McCone said earlier in the day. And I guess this was as a result of stuff that was on Twitter. Joe Murray, fill me in a little bit here.
Yeah, so it sounds like Rafael Devers was exposed to the coronavirus. and they're keeping him away from the team and having him over at BC. This is according to a beat writer who's at the scene. Now, Maz, other writers have come out and said they think immediately that it was weight. So to your point, you know, you're not wrong about that. Other guys are writing it, so you're gonna talk about it. But from what I'm hearing here is that they basically have him at BC because they're keeping him away from the team while they think he was exposed to the coronavirus.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. Apparently, Renicki was asked about this or something akin to it today, and Jimmy has sound of it. So Jimmy, go ahead and play it.
I was asked about Devers. Let me explain a little bit about him. So he's going to work out here later today with the group. He'll get some live BP. He'll get his ground balls and go through the regular workout. And I know with him, he's a little concerned because he's trying to catch up and make sure that he's getting all the work in that he needs. But we had some guys that were possibly exposed to somebody with coronavirus. And this group has tested negative three times. We will continue to test them just because we're being overly cautious. But that's kind of why we've separated some of the guys from the other group. And that's why the later workouts. So that's kind of what's going on with him and why he hasn't been part of the other thing. And also make sure yesterday we could get him over to BC with the other guys and make sure we got plenty of work. As I mentioned, he's concerned about seeing velocity, and we were able to do that with him over there with the pitching machine in the cage, and he'll do that again today, but he'll see live BP today, which will be helpful, and then if he's ready for a couple of at-bats tomorrow, we'll have him in the inner squad tomorrow.
Okay, I don't believe him. I don't, because, again, I would say, so he's been over there with Carlos Fabelis, who's the third base coach, and apparently there's some other guys over there too, right? So he can be with those guys, but he can be with Carlos Fabelis, but he can't be with his teammates. If they think he might have COVID, he should be quarantined.
Right, you send him home.
I agree with that.
I mean, what the hell is he doing out there at all? Like, with all these protocols baseball had in place, you know, no spitting in the dugout. If a ball gets touched by multiple players in play,
that doesn't make any sense.
They take the ball out of the game?
If they think you're exposed to it, you go home. Period. End of story. It's not, I'll go over to the other park and we'll see. It's just not, that's, no.
No, I don't buy it.
It's an easy out right now for any of these teams. If someone shows up and their conditioning isn't great or what it's expected to be, you can say like, oh, well, he might have been around a family member who might have been exposed. We're waiting on test results, but we have him working out somewhere else for now. No, if you think he's been exposed, you send him home. That's it.
Yeah, it's just the whole thing bothers me from this standpoint. The Red Sox have had a tumultuous year. Okay, and I don't mean that calendar-wise, you know what I mean.
Yeah, off-season.
From the middle of last year to now, July to July, they've had a tough year, man.
They're a dumpster fire.
We really have. Like, has anything gone right during that period of time? They didn't make any real moves at the trading deadline. They went right past it, and starting after the trading deadline, they've gone down the toilet. It just circled the drain, the whole thing. Right after that, they tanked. They got through the trading deadline. They didn't help the team. They tanked. The GM got fired in season. The manager got fired during the offseason because he was involved in a cheating scandal. Their best pitcher, they didn't have surgery in time for Chris Sale. He's now going to miss all of this year and probably part of next year, if not all of that, too. They traded David Price. They couldn't sign Mookie Betts. And now, finally, they get to get back on the field, and Bogaerts is a centerpiece guy, okay? So Bogaerts, to me, I have very little issue with. But two of the most important players for the future of the team and of the franchise are Eduardo Rodriguez and Rafael Devers. Those are two hugely important guys now. Devers is better than Benintendi. Jackie Bradley, forget it. Betts is gone. So Devers and Rodriguez are hugely important to the franchise. Hugely. And neither one of them looks like he's ready to go, or they're making decisions that have exposed themselves to the virus, or they're out of shape, or both. I'm not convinced Eddie Rodriguez is in good shape either, by the way. those are guys, again, you know, this is one of the real, to me, one of the real huge, one of the most significant things, significant fallout from Cora is that we talked about his impact on some of the Hispanic players, the Caribbean guys. Now that he's gone, ooh, it feels like they're going the other way. Devers is going the other way. Eduardo Rodriguez is going the other way. Bogarts, it looks like to me, has taken command of his career. I hope. And I think he has. But those other guys, ooh, it feels like they're going in the wrong direction. Frank's in Providence. Frank, what do you got?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about the Red Sox and their ownership and how MLB is just a joke, period. I think the interest level is just different with the players. You see these players, these NFL players, and, you know, they're posting stuff on social media, just creating interest, videos of them working out and stuff. And you have Devers, who's a star in the MLB, shows up fat. I don't think you're going to have a teenage kid looking at a Devers saying, that's who I want to be, or, you know, when they have guys like LeBron or Lamar Jackson on the table.
Yeah, Frank, I don't think it's a role model thing, though. I know people want to keep pointing to this and talking about MLB doesn't market its players, market its superstars. You know, the players look at a guy like Devers, they don't want to be, or the kids look at a guy like Devers, they don't want to be him. I don't think it's that. I think the game sucks.
Yeah, that's all it is.
The game sucks. It's not fun to watch. The sport's not fun to watch.
They could certainly help themselves by allowing the guys to have bigger personalities, and that's just as something as simple as letting them do bat flips and having a little flair. Like, that might help. But no, it ultimately comes down to the product that they're watching. The game's too slow and mostly blows.
So that's what I feel, Murray. I just think, again, the players focus on this part of it too. I just, as much as we've kicked the crap out of the owners, as much as we've kicked the crap out of the union and union leadership in Major League Baseball, after all that kicking and screaming, do these guys really want to play at all? Like, that's the thing I can't help but feel. So they put up this big stink in the negotiations with the owners. They put out all these nasty releases from Tony Clark. All this stuff about how they wanted to play more games. And then it feels like half the players aren't really even interested in doing it. So what was all that noise about? What were you bitching about? You said you wanted to play 114 games. It sure as hell doesn't look like it. You're not in shape. You've exposed yourself to people who are ill. I just don't feel like the players are invested in the product. It feels to me like the players don't want to play at all. That to me are just, on some level, really bugs me. It's just all of the negotiations that went on, I now look at it and say, that was so disingenuous because deep down you didn't want to play either.
Or
you didn't.
It speaks to what I said earlier, is like they felt like they lost. So now they're being forced to do something they don't really want to do. So the hell with it. We're going to half-ass it.
Wow. I mean, again, Rafael Devers and Eduardo Rodriguez, really maybe the two most important young players on the Red Sox. Two of the top three, anyway. Bogarts is obviously in that group. How old's Bogarts now? Is he 26? So I'm not even sure I'd call him a young guy anymore. Bogarts was on the 2013 championship team, for crying out loud. That was 7 years ago. You can't really call Bogarts a young guy anymore. But Devers and Eduardo Rodriguez? Oh, boy, is that real? That is really disappointing. Now I sound like my father. They're really disappointing. Oh, God, boy. How do you just accept that one under the circumstances? Joe Murray's got your headlines.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Belger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
I just want to touch quickly on the baseball schedule. I mentioned this yesterday. First games in MLB will be played next Thursday night. There's a reason I'm mentioning this. That the Yankees and the Nationals will play the first game. That's the early game on ESPN on Thursday night, which, again, under normal circumstances, great matchup. The Yankees have all this hype. They signed Gerrit Cole. You know, a 100-win team. Some people projecting the Yankees as like a 110-win team. Me. Before the season got, you know, Derailed. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you, Murray. Before the season got derailed. So the Yankees are loaded. The Nationals reigning world champions. Like, that's a good way to open the season. That's like an NFL type of scheduling thing. And then the night game was going to be the Dodgers and the Giants, two all-time rivals. And again, the Dodgers, probably the best team in the National League over the last 5 or 6 years, maybe longer than that. Still in search of a world title. Mookie Betts out there. So that's a good scheduling thing. But overall, Murray, you made this point yesterday that the Red Sox games were 7:30.
Yeah.
Right? The Red Sox games on their schedule at home are at 7:30. Which you look at and said, you got to be kidding. You could move up the starting time. You got to play them at 7:30. You can move them to 6. How about some day games?
It's just really
You're not going to sell tickets anyway.
It's so perfect and so Red Sox. Like, let's just try to make a product that a lot of people are finding not so palatable anymore. And let's make it more difficult and inconvenient to watch by making the games at 7:30 instead of 7. How about move it, like you said, up 6:45, 6:30, something like that. So now it's just more inconvenient to try to watch these games.
I mean, there is just so little. There's none. Zero live programming on right now. Just nothing. I mean, at least not that is American, unless you want to watch Korean baseball, which, you know, some people are into. I just have a hard time when I don't know the players and I'm not emotionally invested in the teams. So golf, live golf, I find myself craving it. On the weekend, I'm like, ooh, golf is on. Now watch. Just because I want the live programming. I want to see a real event where I don't know the outcome. That's sort of the whole point of sports. So did you hear what the NHL is going to do in these bubble sites in all probability? And this is according to Bob McKenzie of TSN. During the play-in round, in both Toronto and Edmonton, games will be played 3 games a day, 12, 4, and 8 p.m. You say, wow, that's great. You get a game at noon, get another one at 4 o'clock, you get another one at 8. But the same thing will be happening in Edmonton, which means they're 2 hours behind. So which means if you're on the East Coast,
it's nonstop hockey.
Games at 10, 12, 2, 4, 6, and 8.
Oh, I'm going to be gambling like crazy.
You get a game every 2 hours, basically. You're the start of a game every 2 hours. Those are going to overlap because they're going on in different places. But basically, a new game on every 2 hours. It's like a youth hockey tournament, for crying out loud, right? Where one team goes out, the next one comes in. And then they play at this rink, and then the other team's playing at that rink. And then every 2 hours is a game, just flowing people through there.
It's pretty cool.
Isn't that great? Think of that. What a great setup because of the time zones. If this is how it plays out, and it's during the playing round, I guess it may change as they start to whittle teams down a little bit and they get into the deeper rounds of the playoffs and what have you. But because of their time difference, 12, 4, and 8 o'clock in both places. If you're on the East Coast, 12, 2, 4, 6, I'm sorry, 10, 12. Did I get that right?
No, 12, 2.
Whatever. 12, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Isn't that awesome? That is absolutely freaking awesome. What a great setup. We had a discussion earlier about most important young players in the city of Boston. Which young player is most important to his team? I think we had settled generally on Jason Tatum. Jimmy Stewart raised Jarrett Stidham, who I think is a good guy for that discussion. He's an important guy to the future of the Patriots. Scott's in Southie. Scott, who do you think it is?
Maz, 1 second, real quick. I do have a point for you, but I just have to give the floor to Jim Murray real quick. Jim, at the beginning of the show, did you say people were getting tattoos of this COVID virus? And I look at you as a tattoo aficionado.
I said it yesterday. I read an article, I think it was in the New York Post, that some of the tattoo parlors around the U.S. that have opened, people are going in and getting the actual virus tattooed on them.
Okay.
Well, sign of the times that we live in, obviously.
Yeah, depressing and really sad. So anyway, my obvious point, Maz, and great segue, is that I'm going to agree with Jaffe on this one. You're talking about Stidham and you're talking about Tatum. It's kind of a quasi-straw man argument. You're making it the argument that the NBA player is the most important player to the team, and same with Stidham. But in reality, when was the last time there was a 50-goal scorer for the Boston Bruins, you know?
Well, so it's been a while, Scott. I'm guessing it was Neely. I don't remember. I
mean, correct.
Okay, so
93,
Scott,
94.
Let me ask you a question. How many 50-goal scores did the Bruins have when they won the Cup in 2011?
Touche. But at the same time, I mean, Pastrnak's on track for a legit Hall of Fame career if he keeps it up. So I get your point about Tatum, that, you know, he, about his ceiling and everything. But right now, if we're talking about right this second, and you can talk about all the help you want around Pastrnak, but you're saying the same thing about the Celtics, that every team needs help. So I just don't understand. That's why I'm calling it a quasi-strawman.
Okay, so
argument.
Scott, again, and this again, I'm talking about important young players to the franchise. If I were to say to you, who's the MVP of the Bruins, who would you say?
Pastrnak.
Okay, I wouldn't.
Who would you say?
I would say Bergeron or Marchand, or I'd say one of those guys. I just think Pastrnak's useless on the defensive end.
Oh, he was on our pace to have one of the greatest seasons in history this year.
He was having a phenomenal year, and the reason I have Tatum number one. And again, I just base this on, you look at it, you know, you said anyone that's under 25 in the city with any of these teams. So upside superstar potential. And Pastrnak has superstar potential. He was a superstar, having a superstar year. But I do think he sucks on the other end, and I can't get the Stanley Cup final out of my head.
Exactly.
And how bad he was against the Blues
last year. What it is. They weren't tough enough. That great line, that top line, couldn't do it against that Blues team. But it's Tatum. In basketball is all that sport about having that one player, right? And again, I'm going to mention this one more time. The Celtics had three top 10 picks. You got to hit on one of them, and I think it's probably Jason Tatum.
I mean,
and the other thing with Pastrnak, too, how he hurt himself last year, too. Like, he's a bit of a hammerhead. That just bugs me.
Oh, I like that word. Haven't heard that word in a long time. 617-779-0985. Got a couple of lines open if you want to check in. We'll continue with your calls when we come back.
It's not complaining.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Dan Snyder was defiant. He said he would never change it. Well, he wasn't threatened by sponsors for them to pull out. So when Fred Smith, the chairman of FedEx, who, by the way, his company has a sponsorship for the stadium. When they threaten to pull out, you know, you're going to have to do something.
Adam Kaplan, NFL.com. Talking about the name change of the Redskins, which appears imminent now. And this has drawn a lot of commentary over the last several days, and obviously even more than that. This goes back years, particularly with the Washington Redskins. But now, certainly a topic of discussion for multiple sports teams, including the Cleveland Indians and Atlanta Braves, although I think with the Braves, they're talking more about the tomahawk chop than they are.
No, they wanted the name change, too, and the Braves told the mob to screw, based on what I've read.
Okay, so this is obviously a hot-button topic now with what's going on in the world. But let me start with the Redskins, Murray. How do you feel about it?
I mean, this one's, years ago, I was more of a hardliner. I'm like, okay, like, who's really, truly upset about this? Because it felt like it was, mostly just, like, the social media mob and like, white college professors. And it's like, okay, all right, what are we doing here? But, again, things change. And given the climate that we're now living in, like, this is, I mean, it's red skin. Like, just change it. Like, don't be that much of a hardo and a-hole about it. It would be better for your business. It just, if you're bottom line, too, at this point, if you have sponsors like FedEx and Pepsi and Nike all basically pulling out and saying, change the name or we're out, dude, just change the name. It'll be better for you anyway in the long run. You'll be able to sell more merch, hats, jerseys, shirts, and you'll come out looking, well, it's Daniel Snyder. He'll never look like a good guy, but you'll end up looking like a better guy. Just change that one. The Redskins one, I think it's pretty obvious. That one's bad. Like, change the Redskins.
Okay, so I'm just going to throw a couple of them at you here, and the ones I mentioned, tell me whether you feel differently or similarly. Indians.
No, leave it. The Chief Wahoo thing, again, that needed to go. But the name, stop it.
So I know that Terry Francona had indicated or said a couple of days ago that he thinks it's time for them to take a look at that, and maybe the Indians are going to change that one, too. How about the Braves?
No, again, I think you're honoring those people. Like, again, you want to make a case for the tomahawk chop and all that. Okay, like, I'm willing to listen there, but the name, please, no.
That's, so I did ask you about the Braves already, right? So that's sort of like when hosts aren't listening. A little bit of that, anyway. Joe Murray, those three.
The Redskins has to go, man. It has to. With all the social injustice going on in this country, it's about time. And I'm glad FedEx came up to do this. But to Big Jim's point, This could be a merch. Hey, let's get, you know, we're changing the name this year. You know, we're getting away from the Redskins. We're going to sell this and that. And, like, it could be a big hit. I really do think it could be a hit. But just, you know, as far as the I know Terry Francona came out recently and said the Indians, they changed the logo years ago. You know, at some point, they're probably going to have discussions about changing it. But right away, I don't think the Redskins can go into this season with that name. I think it needs to change before the season starts.
So someone's going to have to explain the outrage over the Braves to me. I don't get that. Like, weren't the Braves a tribe?
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think there's anything derogatory about that. I mean, unless I'm missing something with the Braves. If we were to call a team the Apaches, is that insulting?
I guess to some people. I mean, this is the one that really...
I'm being serious here. I'm not being a wise ass. I'm asking.
I know, Maz. Again, you're rational and you use common sense. The answer is no. But
isn't there a college team called the Fighting Sioux?
Yep.
Yeah.
S-I-O-U, which is like Illinois, one of the Illinois schools or something?
And my joke was, you know, maybe change that, keep the name, but just make it S-U-E instead of S-I-O-U-X.
No, I missed that.
And it's a gal with her fists up. It's old Fighting Sioux.
I missed that, Murray. That's good.
It's more acceptable in today's climate.
So again, the Braves one I don't get. The Indians one I do.
The Blackhawks one is the one that drives me bananas. Like, now, so all of a sudden this one's become a problem?
And that's another one that was a tribe, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I sort of look at the ones that are tribal names, and I say I don't think those are derogatory in any way, shape, or form. If you want to tell me that the logo is insulting, and again, I'm the wrong one to sort of... comment on that or to say that, because I obviously I'm white, so I feel like the tribal names, and actually in a lot of ways I would say the tribal names should be preserved. I think those are kind of cool, but ones that are derogatory in nature, I look at the Redskins and Daniel Snyder's resistance to change the name of the team, and I would say to Daniel Snyder, you have caused more damage to your team than anybody else. You've destroyed the real benefit and brand of that logo. You've destroyed it. So I would be eager to change team names if I were you, because what the Redskins once were as a franchise and as a really iconic franchise, Daniel Snyder has freaking destroyed it.
He's run it right into the ground. Yeah, just let alone like it being the right thing to do. Because again, like that one I understand. Like that's offensive. Like in today's climate, like change the Redskins name. But I mean, you need a rebranding anyway, dude. Like, you've ruined what
that
franchise is, just in terms of football. Like, I think you could use, you know, keep the colors, because I do love that scheme. But yeah, it's time. You know, whether it's, what are some of the things being bandied about here? The Warriors. There was another one I like, the Red Tails. You know, just because what you were in the 80s, when you last won a title in, what was that, 91 or whatever it was, like, you're a far cry from what that franchise used to be.
Okay, so I don't want to take a million calls on this, but I'll tell you what, we'll squeeze in a couple of calls here before the top of the hour. I'm going to get to football and Cam Newton here in just a little bit. Again, earlier we had a discussion about the most important young players in Boston. Which young player in Boston is most important to his franchise? And really, we used a discussion about Jason Tatum as a launching pad for that one. And I think it's Tatum. Both Murrays think it's Tatum. Jimmy Stewart through Jarrett Stidham in there. People have offered up Pasternak. Mike and Nashville, who do you think?
I threw Bogarts out there because I'm an old guy. I'm a baseball fan, you know, and he really came into his own last year. I think he could be a rock for a long time, but it kind of shows like baseball, how far baseball's fallen. You guys aren't even talking about the Sox, right?
Okay, so I'll tell you what. We did throw a couple of Red Sox names out there, but Devers was on there. Bogarts wasn't.
And Bogarts is 27.
Yeah, he's 27 now. Like, he's not a young guy anymore. He's in the prime of his career.
No, 25 and under. That's the baseline.
Pete Nandover on the franchises changing names. Go ahead, Pete.
Okay, well, I wanted to discuss polling from 2004, 2011, 2017. It was consistent the whole time, either with the local tribes around Washington or nationally American Indians. I can't tell you which one, but it was always 90% said they didn't care. And I'm wondering if you guys have access to,
yeah, Pete, I'm going to let you go. Jimmy, could you drop him? I froze up here, so I can't drop him, but I was going to say, honestly, the historical references don't make sense to me anymore. It's a different time. It's a different time. So I don't care what they voted in 2004, 2007. I don't. Pete in a car. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking a call. Maz, I guess you guys are just talking about University of North Dakota, the Fighting Sioux, who was an absolute powerhouse in college hockey for years. And they used to come east a lot, especially in the 80s and the 90s, used to win here. Lee Gorin, who played for the Bruins, alumni. Aren't we honoring the past with keeping a name like that, the Fighting Sioux? And their logo, by the way, is almost identical to the Chicago Blackhawks, which people love, which people vote as like one of the number one logos in pro sports every year. So I don't understand this whole rationale now that we're just trying to change history. And I know this goes off on a completely other discussion for another day. But like I said, iconic school name, iconic logo, iconic program. And by the way, now they're calling them like the Fighting Hawks or something stupid like that. I just want to get your take on that.
Okay, so again, Pete, to me, I don't find the tribal names to be derogatory in nature. So now, again, someone that is Native American might. I don't think so, but it doesn't feel derogatory to me, and I don't know if I'm the best person to ask in this particular topic. It doesn't feel that way to me. Redskins is pretty clear.
Yeah.
I mean, that one's pretty clear. I don't know if there's much of a gray area on that one. And again, if I were Daniel Snyder, like, dude, use it as an opportunity. Because whatever brand value there was from that logo and that team name,
it's basically non-existent.
You've dumped all over it. You've destroyed it on your own.
The Hogs.
So don't go blaming that one on anybody else. All right, here's what we're going to do. Top of the hour, I want to get to Cam Newton. There's some things that have been said about Cam Newton recently and some speculation about Cam Newton, some of which caught my attention. And I know Murray has some strong feelings about some of the things that are out there being said and written about Cam Newton as well. He and I have not really had a chance to dig in on this topic because we haven't been in the same studio for a while. So yesterday was the first day in a long time for me and Murray. So we'll get into Cam Newton next after Joe Murray gets you caught up on headlines and Jimmy Stewart, clear the board.